Good morning, it's 7:08, and you're listening to Upfront. I'm Janine Etter. After Alec Manassian drove a rental van into a crowded Toronto city sidewalk, killing 10 people and wounding 14 more, his Facebook page formally introduced the world to the group known as incels, as he used the term on the page and referenced Elliot Roger, a 22-year-old who in May of 2014 in Isla Vista, California, killed 6 people and injured 14 others near the campus of the University of California, Santa Barbara, before killing himself. We speak with Aditi Natasha Kinney, a New York-based writer and author of the Vice.com article, How Reddit is Teaching Young Men to Hate Women, about her research regarding the incel movement and men's rights groups. Aditi Natasha Kinney, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So can you describe the incel movement and what it is?
So incel stands for involuntary celibate, and it is a movement that we can track on social media sites like Reddit and 4chan and now third-party sites where usually young men gather to discuss why they are not having sex. Incels bond over the idea that they take what they call the black pill, which is as opposed to the blue pill or the red pill. It's a reference to the Matrix, where the red pill shows you reality or whatever. So the red pill in the manosphere, as they call it, where men's rights movements happen online, the red pill is the pill that one takes to see that the game is rigged and feminism's end goal is to annihilate men. And the black pill is what incels take, where they not only think the game is rigged, but they think that there is no way for someone with their genes to have sex and have healthy, loving relationships. So it's a sort of like very like pessimistic, gene-based idea of feminism hating them. Like feminists hating them, or women in general hating them, and feeling excluded from society. So that is a sort of long-winded way of saying that the incel movement is, in its present form, is not that old. It's been gathering momentum through social media and the internet.
So what's the demographic of this group?
It's hard to say definitively because obviously there's anonymity online. The posts and the descriptions of people that I've seen online discussing how they are incels tend to be skew younger, possibly because there's a lack of perspective and sheer years of experience. But it seems that the demographic of Reddit and that particular subreddit that has since been shut down seem to skew very young white men, but there are obviously many exceptions.
Yeah, and part of the reason why I was asking is because of the gene argument. And I was wondering if there were any race-based rationale to them thinking that because they have bad genes that they're unable to get women or get dates.
That's a really interesting question, and it's one that I've thought about, too, because the Southern Poverty Law Center recently classified male supremacy as a hate group in general, and they have a lot of subsets and groups that they've identified within this larger movement, and they have identified male supremacy as a gateway drug to the alt-right and, in general, white supremacy. It does seem strange that one would blame genes and then also be, you know, a potential white supremacist eventually. But there is a thing about, incels appear to be very obsessed or preoccupied with ideas of male beauty. It's not just about the size of the penis. It's like just like their body build and like the perfect ratio and the perfect head ratio and like the perfect chin. So there, it's a very obsessive idea of like what the perfect man looks like, not what the perfect man does or the perfect man's personality. So I think that's where the idea of genes comes in, because it's a phenotype thing.
It's alpha male versus like a beta male argument.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And do they have any posts or any ideas on what the ideal woman looks like?
For them, all women are bad. That's the thing about incels, is that they demonize, they as at one on one hand they exclude themselves from ideas of perfect masculinity, but then they demonize and vilify women in general. They call women a variety of names that's very coded. They call women Stacies, Roasties, which is a sort of repugnant reference to genitalia. And there is the femoids, I think, that there's a dehumanization of women that occurs. So there is no perfect woman. It's that all women are, biologically primed to want chads, which is what they call like attractive men.
Well, that would make sense from a misogynistic perspective that men have differences, but women don't. Women are in one monolithic group and men are varied.
Absolutely. And
Right.
then if you call someone a femoid, and they're basically robots, that's the thing, is like they have no human, not just agency, but feeling. And it is the dehumanization that occurs with all misogyny.
So talk a little bit more about your research about the men's rights activist groups, what it is that they're complaining about.
So, in the history, if you look at it from a historical perspective, men's rights as a movement is a pseudo respectable movement, right? Like on the surface level, it seems almost justifiable. It seems justifiable that men would want to have rights just as women want to have rights, just as all people want to have rights. But the whole movement, I think, can be traced back to this one fallen feminist, a man who used to roam with like second wave feminists, who then wrote a book in the 90s called The Myth of Male Power, I believe. And he attested there that the end goal of feminism was to remove men from the equation and to eliminate their power. There's a lot of what I call protagonist anxiety involved with this, where people who have seen themselves the center of the story don't get what they've been promised. If you think about it, we haven't really begun to deprogram or not socialize cis straight men into thinking that they deserve everything. Feminism has made many strides, but the idea that there are still the majority of men grow into thinking that they deserve all of these things, and the majority of women internalizing blame and worthlessness, that's still happening. So when you see that, and then you see a vocal minority of people who haven't been socialized that way striving to make social change, there is anger. So on one hand, you're socializing men into thinking that they deserve all these things that sex has promised to them, that women will always be subservient to them. And then they grow up and they achieve sexual maturity, and that is not the case. Society isn't exactly set up anymore to give men promised sex. The culture of like marriage and like that used to exist, there isn't the culture of heteronormativity that promised sex to all men. Like that has changed, but they're still socialized in the same way. So when you couple that with the ability to radicalize someone online and reify those opinions, so you have young men, like 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds going online looking for answers why they're not attractive to women. And then you have these older men who have come up with what is basically a conspiracy theory. What is a conspiracy theory? It's as much of a conspiracy theory as flat earthers, and way more harmful. Like flat earthers have like conventions and discuss how the world is flat. But in this case, you have people, like feeding each other's hateful ideologies and encouraging violent attacks like Alec Manassian's and Elliot Rodgers. So the history of men's rights movements is 100% linked to the rise of feminism, and is a reaction to feminism, is in a reaction to a perceived affront to men's well-being and men's rights and men's power. And it is a men's power movement. There are various subgroups within men's rights movements that there's probably many more since I stopped looking into it closely. The reason I looked into it at all was a few years ago, this man tried to put me down while he was flirting with me, and I was very confused as to why he was doing any of that. And I discussed his behavior with my friend who had spent time in Red Pill subreddits, pickup artists groups. And that term is called negging, where you give someone a negative compliment so that they rely on you for praise. And it is a pickup artist technique. And from there, I went deeper into this sort of rabbit hole of the manosphere. And, you know, like all the way at the front, there's this idea that, you know, women are just biological beings. They are reduced to their anatomy. They are reduced to a sexuality that may not even be theirs. There is no accounting for queerness in this movement because queerness upsets the logic. They do not allow women anymore into incels, even though the term incel was coined by a woman who had, from what it seems, noble intentions of uniting people who felt left out of this monogamous, like the sexual dating romantic game. But now it doesn't allow women because the logic is that women cannot be incels because they always get sex if they ask for it. Incels do not include queer people because gay men can always have sex with other gay men. Trans and non-binary people are too confusing to be inserted into this logic. And queer women are just by default of being women are not allowed in. So in general, it's these silos that are created, like sort of like I would say echo chambers, but also they're a little bit more than echo chambers because you can have echo chambers in like Facebook groups and stuff. But it's more hidden than that because it's coded and there is an ideology behind it that you have to be indoctrinated into. Most of these groups have literature. There's people who voluntarily write the logic of their universe and codify it so that people who are getting interested in this and are sucked in through what seems to be like, you know, men's improvement posts and stuff like that, they have more of a foot in the door sort of like way into literature that then furthers the radicalization process.
And why is it described as a movement rather than just simply online trolling in terms of the incels?
It's because they're organized in a way that, I mean, I don't know if I necessarily would call it a movement all the time or in every instance, but when you're mobilized, I think that's when it's called a movement because when Elliot Rodger killed all those people and wrote that manifesto, they hailed him as their saint. So there was an idea of leadership. There was an idea of what the ideology's end game is. There isn't ideology at all. Like, you could have random internet trolls. There are trolls everywhere. I used to be a troll. I didn't have an ideology behind it. I was just, like, trying to stir up stuff online. But, you know, there's when you have, like, feelings about yourself that are then translated into an identity beyond your own self. So you're sharing your beliefs, you're commenting on other people's stuff, you're trying to build a community and have leadership like Elliot Rodgers and Alec Manassian, and then try to claim people. Like, you know, the Austin Bomber, I believe that some incels wanted to call him the Unabomber incel or were trying to claim him as their own. So this, when you like are seeking violent, murderous people to be your leadership, it seems more like a movement. But men's rights in general is, it's a movement. It's overarching. It's a reaction to feminism. Its goal is to take down women eventually or to prevent the spread of feminism. It has an idea of where what women's place is in the world and in the home. And it's not a sedentary sort of thought. You know, you're not like sitting there thinking it. It's how you react to people and it's how you have social relationships in the world. So just as white supremacy is considered a movement, so is male supremacy.
So it seems like the public first started hearing the term incel or incel movements after Alec Manassian, and that was April 23rd of this year, plowed the rental car into the crowd of folks in Toronto, and I believe he killed 10 people and wounded 14.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on why certain members like Alec or like Elliot Rodgers, and like you mentioned, he killed 6 people in the shooting rampage in Isla Vista. Why do you think they are driven to violence, killing people behind what they describe as their socially awkward sexual frustrations?
It seems that if someone who is getting radicalized online to hate women for not having sex with them, that they would go about killing women who don't have sex with them. But the violence and anger of someone indoctrinated into a movement like this is, it doesn't actually even see targets as clearly as we would imagine. The anger is spread at an entire world that has denied them what they consider their birthright. So Alec Manassian killed a number of people, and they were not all women. He injured a number of people. It was unseen rage. He just drove a van, and it's not like he was aiming for any particular person. He's just aiming at everyone.
Right.
I think there is an interaction here with, you know, being out of touch with empathy, with being out of touch with people, because it's very hard to kill people if you feel community. There is a unchecked rage which gets fostered and, you know, fomented online, which, you know, it validates this very, like, black and white sort of thinking. And it creates the idea that it makes this more acceptable. I'm sure psychologists have a lot to say about what happens to the mind when it's brainwashed and when it's radicalized, because it becomes very, you know, like us versus them. And when ideology like incels comes into play here, incels is everybody is them. You know, everybody is. The women who don't have sex with them, the men who have sex. So that means the majority of people. And that anger, when turned outward and equipped with the, you know, with machines of violence, it's unpredictable. It's hard to tell when it's going to happen, because it's not like incels are planning these attacks together. It's, as far as I know, it's not like a terrorist organization, you know, to use that word lightly, because male supremacy is also terrorism. So I don't want to just use it in a sort of racist, colorist way. But terrorist organizations that are organized, you know, they have some logic inside the group. So it's, I think the idea that you could have these individualistic meltdowns that harm so many people, it's exceptionally scary to a lot of people. And the word incel, I mean, incels became widely known after Manassian, which is why I started talking about them more. But they've been around for a bit. The incels group itself, that one that got shut down on Reddit, which I wrote about in November of last year, it was shut down in the first week of November, I believe, or the last week of October. It gained momentum in June or July of 2016. A lot of places have directly linked the rise of male supremacy to the rise of open white supremacy. This particular incels group grew vastly in the course of that summer, over the course of that summer. So it was just, in general, there were more groups online that, you know, vocally expressed hatred. I don't know how to express or understand the increase in reporting of hate crimes. I believe that hate crimes have always been around and that reporting might have increased, but there's also just the sheer sort of nakedness of it. Like, there's more people feeling emboldened to say things, to hurt people. And incels happen, like the growth of that particular subreddit, obviously incels are all over the internet, but that subreddit that got shut down was around that time. And Elliot Rodger killed all those people in 2014. And he identified as, I'm not sure if he used the word incel or involuntary celibate or just discussed it in his manifesto and didn't claim it as an identity, but he was very much linked to it.
And what do you think ordinary citizens need to know or to arm themselves with, knowledge-wise, regarding incels or the incel movement?
I think in the age of the internet, there is no such thing as ordinary citizens. We could all be online watching and keeping note. It just requires one person to see that something is going wrong with a user or that someone is saying something very abhorrent. I think just keeping aware, and not just like aware in the sense of like reading a headline and talking about it at an, you know, office cooler, but like to feel personally culpable and part of this, that we all have complicity in toxicity and the patriarchy. Every single person, the patriarchy would not exist without women propping it up. So I think that, you know, whatever ordinary means, that we all have to claim some share of the blame.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
That's it. Thank you so much.
That was Aditi Natasha Kinney, a New York-based writer and author of the Vice.com article, How Reddit is Teaching Young Men to Hate Women, speaking about the incel movement and men's rights groups.